So, let me just pray, and then we're going to jump straight into it. So, Father, I thank you that you're here in this place. Father, I thank you just for the excitement that you've placed in my heart to bring this word. I pray, Father, today that we would hear the word of the Lord, that our ears will be open, our hearts will be open to receive the word today, and not only to receive it, but to respond. Thank you, Father, that you want to do something really deep in hearts today. So, Holy Spirit, would you just have your way in this place, we pray. Amen. Allison, can I have my water, please? I forgot to bring it up. Thanks. So, over the last few months, God has been burning this word on my heart. It's time to come up higher. And I really believe there's an invitation from the heart of the Father today to say to us, come up to a higher place. Now, I love details. I love stories. I love the process. I love all the parts of it. And when I tell a story, I often include all the details, and it drives my husband insane. He's just like, get to the punchline. But for girls particularly, we have to tell you everything. And so I want to paint a picture of this word, how God put it in my heart today. So if you're not a detailed person, bear with me, and hopefully I'll convert you by the end. So late last year, around Christmas Eve, I came down really quite sick. We didn't know what was wrong with me, but as time went on, I just got sicker and sicker and sicker. And I was really struggling. My last week at Kalamunda, so that's where we were before coming back here, I was on communion, we were getting prayed out, and we had steps to go up to the church, and I couldn't even hardly walk up those steps without collapsing. And people met me up the top and just prayed for me, and God gave me the grace to get through. And I'd received this word about it being an attack to stop me from running into the next season, that I couldn't walk, let alone even run, and there had been relentless attacks on my health over and over again. But I would rise up in strength by the empowerment of His Spirit, and I would run in the next season. And I'm still believing for complete breakthrough. I've had a lot of breakthrough, not complete breakthrough, but I'm believing that I will run. And maybe that is a word. Maybe that's also a word for you. Maybe there's been relentless attacks over and over again to stop you from running into this next season, or to stop you from coming up higher. But the Holy Spirit, I'm believing, would empower you with His strength so that you could rise up and you could run with strength and excitement once more. Anyway, my first week back here in the office, I entered anything but running. I walked slowly in. I collapsed in the chair in front of Kerry in his office, and I cried my eyes out. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And he prayed for me, but he shared a word that he believed God had put on his heart about it's time to soar higher. And he read from Isaiah 40, where it says that those who wait or hope upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will rise up on wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And when he shared that, there was something that leapt in my spirit, and I knew that that was not just a word for me, but it was a word for the church. Anyway, the next day was my first day back at school. I work as a chaplain there, and I was walking very slowly again to my office. And again, I collapsed into the staff room, and I was like, oh, I can't do this. I could hardly walk. And the deputies, they gathered around me and they prayed. Shortly after that, I was cleaning up my office, and I was just praying, Lord, give me strength, give me strength. And I came across this bookmark that the high schoolers had made for me last year. And on that bookmark said these words, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will rise up on wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. 2 weeks later, I'm in Connect Group, and we're reading through Song of Songs, chapter 2. And I'm just listening to the words. And in the translation they were reading, I heard these words: rest in my love. The season has changed. It's time to come up higher. So there were just three key words. The New Living Translation says this: rise up, my darling. Winter has passed. Rise up and arise. Come away, my fair one. A couple of days later, just in case I hadn't quite got the message, I was speaking to Jacqueline, our youth pastor here, who also works at the school as one of the chaplains, and we're chatting away, and all of a sudden I stopped her in mid-sentence and I was like, your jumper. And I looked at her jumper and it read, get up higher. And I couldn't remember those exact words, so on Friday I said, Jack, what was those words of your jumper again? And she goes, oh, I don't know why, but I felt to bring the jumper today. And there she had it: get up higher. And so I believe that's an invitation from the Lord today to us. It's time to come up higher. Or as Kerry says to me all those months ago, it's time to soar higher. And we sang that today, that we would soar above the mountain, or not the mountain, the problems, the storm. We would soar above the storm. And we would see from a different point of view. We would see from a heavenly perspective. Because God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. They are so much higher. And if we're going to have his thoughts and his ways, we need today to come up higher. Throughout the Bible, God calls his people often to come up the mountain to a high place. Moses was called up the mountain, and he met with God, and God gave him the law. Jesus often went up the mountain to pray. Elijah went up the mountain to pray for rain, and his servants saw the rain coming. And when they came down, they were changed. They had met with God. They saw differently. They spoke differently. And they had begun to see things from a higher place. So what is so important about mountains? Why can't God just meet us in the lowlands? Because I don't know if you've ever climbed a mountain, but it's hard work. Yeah, you don't just kind of get up one day and go, you know what, I think I'll climb a mountain. It actually takes preparation. And just like there's physical preparation, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to prepare our hearts today to climb up higher. I remember when Levi, so our second son, was about one years old, maybe a bit younger, and we went down, I think, to Albany, and we thought it would be a good idea to climb the Porongah Ups. We had Isaac, who was 5. We had my parents, who were older. We had Dave, who's strong, and we had Levi, who was 1. And we were like, yeah, we can climb this mountain. And so we had the baby carrier, and we had Isaac on our shoulders, and we kind of passed them along to each other. Mum and I just kind of, we were just watching, following them. They carried the children. And it was hard work. And often when we're climbing mountains, we want to give up halfway. It's like you get to that halfway point and you don't want to keep going. And it's almost like I sense today that that's where we've got stuck. We've actually started, but we've kind of given up halfway. But God would encourage us today to press on, to keep going up higher. And when we got to the top, we made it to the top, it was so worth it. The air was fresh, the noise had gone, and we could see like such a beautiful, spectacular view. Mountains throughout the Bible represented the meeting place of God, the presence of God, where we came and we sat in his presence, we sat at his feet, and we gained a new perspective. For many, it's been a hard season. It's been an uncertain season, and the temptation is, I think, to wait, to hold off until we get through it. But God would say, now it's time to come. Now it's time to move forward. Now it's time to arise. Don't wait, for the season has changed and I'm calling you to come up higher and not be bogged down with things all around us, with the calamities and the fear or whatever it is. Don't be bogged down by that, but come up higher and see from a new perspective and receive new strength, that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings of eagles. The other thing is, when we get to the mountain, we can hear clearly. You know when you go up higher and your ears start to block? The reason they block, it comes from pressure. And I feel like pressure spiritually has blocked our ears. But as we kept going, your ears begin to pop. As you keep going high, your ears pop and you begin to hear clearly again. And I believe that as we respond to the invitation today to come up higher, our ears are going to pop, that we might hear clearly once more. And so today I want to look at this call that God gives his people to come up to the mountain of the Lord, but also look at the resistance that the people had in coming and why it's important for us to respond in this season. So we're going to look at Isaiah 2, who was a prophet to the Judean kings, and he had a vision about coming up the mountain of the Lord. And then we're going to jump across to 2 Chronicles 30, which is about Hezekiah, who was one of those Judean kings, and he called the people of the time to come up to the mountain of the Lord to celebrate Passover, but a lot of them resisted. And I want to look more into that and how that applies to us. So what are some of the resistance we can have, but what is our response to be? So let's look at Isaiah 2. I'm going to read from 2 to 3 and then jump to 5. So this is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The Lord will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now, this is a really important passage in the Old Testament. And we know that when any parent gives instructions to their children, if they have to repeat it, you know that it's important to get their child's attention. And this passage is repeated again to Micah, who was another prophet to the Judean kings, exactly word for word, to go up the mountain. And Micah 4:1-3, we're not going to look at, but that's exactly the same. And it's very unusual for both prophets to have the same message, almost word for word. So it must have been foremost on the Lord's heart to call his people up the mountain. Now this passage, just to give you some context, it has a future reference. It's talking about the end of the age when Jesus will return and establish a new Jerusalem, the holy city, a spiritual city of God. But we also know that we are the temple of the Lord. And so it's also referring to when the church was to be established. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16 says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But the prophets always, they had a future focus, but they always had a now focus to urge the people to come back to the Lord now. And so while this was speaking future, I believe we can also apply it to today, that it's time to come up to the mountain of the Lord. So what was the mountain of the Lord? Well, that is where Jerusalem was. So it was up on a mountain. It wasn't the highest of mountains, but it was referred to as the highest of mountains because that was God's dwelling place. And so under the Mosaic law, all adult males of Israel had to journey up the mountain of the Lord to Jerusalem 3 times a year for 3 different reasons. The first one was for Passover, the second one was for Pentecost, and the third one was for the tabernacles. So when Jeroboam, who was Solomon's son, took over from Solomon, the kingdom was divided. So some of us may know this history, but I'm going to go back over a little bit to kind of give context to this. So it was divided between the northern tribes of Israel, so there were 10 tribes of Israel, and 2 tribes of Judah, the southern kingdom. And they had a series of kings in both places, and 75 to 80% of those kings were bad. But even fewer were totally good. And so during the reign of all the kings, the law had been neglected. They had forgotten it or even lost it. And even when the kings did right, the people would often continue on in their idol worship mixed with God worship around the countryside. And so Isaiah and Micah were prophets to the Judean kings, including King Hezekiah, which we're going to look at in a minute. And so this word in Isaiah 2 would have been written before Hezekiah, but he would have known this word, and this would have been great encouragement for him. So when King Hezekiah took over, he took over from his dad, King Ahaz, who was a very wicked king. And under all that, the temple had been decimated. People were just doing their own thing, living in their own ways, being wicked. And they had stopped going to the mountain for Passover. And people were not following God, especially the northern kingdom. They really had walked away from God. And so when we come to 2 Chronicles 30, this was written in a time where a lot of the northern kingdom had been held captive and taken away from the Assyrians. And so there was only a remnant left. But Isaiah 2:3 says, many people will come and say, let us go up the mountain of the Lord. And so King Hezekiah became one of these people to call people back to come up to the mountain of the Lord and to celebrate Passover once more. He came and he put back the temple and he got it in order once again. And he called the people to come up higher. So I want to look at this in 2 Chronicles 30. So we're going to pick up from verse 6. So basically, he's decided, I'm going to call people up. We're going to celebrate the Passover again. I haven't got enough priests. They haven't consecrated themselves. So we're going to have to delay the Passover by a month, get them all consecrated, get it all ready. But we've agreed that we can do it in the second month of the year, which was special reasons why they could do that. And I'm going to send a call out to all of Judah and all of Israel, north and south, and we're going to call the people back together to come up the mountain to worship the Lord once more. And so verse 6 of 2 Chronicles 30, we're going to pick up the story. Now, I've just got in there the main parts. There's a lot of names. There's a lot of other things just to make it easier for us to follow. So at the king's command, couriers went throughout Israel and Judah with letters from the king and from his officials, which read, people of Israel, return to the Lord, that he may return to you who are left, who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria. Do not be like your parents and your fellow Israelites who were unfaithful. Do not be stiff-necked as your ancestors were. Submit to the Lord. Come to his sanctuary, which he has consecrated forever. Serve the Lord your God so that his fierce anger will turn away from you. If you return to the Lord, then your fellow Israelites and your children will be shown compassion by their captors and will return to this land, for the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. Verse 10. The couriers went from town to town in Ephraim and Manasseh as far as Zebulun. but people scorned and ridiculed them. Nevertheless, some humbled themselves and went to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was on the people to give them unity of mind, to carry out what the king and his officials had ordered, following the word of the Lord. And then it goes on to say that they gathered up the mountain to celebrate. They removed all the altars and the idols where they had just kind of run amok up there. And the people rejoiced, and great joy filled them, which had not been seen in the land before. So how do we apply it to us today? Well, they had an invitation to come up higher, to come up to the mountain of the Lord. But they had to respond to that. They had a choice. And we too today, I believe the Lord is giving us an invitation, but we have a choice to respond, whether we too will come up to the mountain of the Lord and to enter his rest and be filled with great joy. So I want to look today, what stopped the people from coming up higher? And therefore, what stops us from responding to God? So we're going to look at three things, and then we're going to look at how do they respond correctly or rightly. So the first thing is they were disobedient, or the Bible says they were also stiff-necked. It says in verse 7, "Do not be like your parents and your fellow Israelites who were unfaithful to the Lord, the God of their ancestors, so that he made them an object of horror as you see. Do not be stiff-necked as your ancestors were. Submit to the Lord." So what God highlighted to me from this passage was that the people preferred their own ways. They were walking in their own paths. They were stiff-necked, which meant stubborn, and they refused to bend or to respond. They weren't obedient and they worshipped idols, and it caused all sort of grief. Now, we may not categorize ourselves as bad as this. We come to church, we celebrate communion, but how many times are we stuck in our ways? Are we stubborn in our opinions? I've seen a lot of stubbornness in people's opinions over the last couple of years, where we're stuck in what we think and that's it. How many times are we rebellious in our spirit, or we're independent in our spirit? No, this is what I'm doing and that's it. We dig our heels in and we don't want to submit or budge. But underneath this really is a spirit of pride. I have someone in my family, I won't give names away, but they are very stubborn, very stubborn. And so you tell them to do something and they say, "No, I won't." And then I say, "Don't do this." And they say, "Yes, I ma." You can probably guess. And there's this stubbornness, this stiff-neckedness, this determination. And maybe I need to redo Growing Kids God's Way to work this one out. But there's just this stubbornness. And that can be a good thing at times, where we refuse to bow down and we refuse to walk away from God, that we're fixed. But how many times do we hear God say something to us, or maybe it's from here and we don't agree with it, and we dig our heels in and we say, "No, I won't," or "Yes, I ma." And the people were stubborn. But what were they called to do? They were called to submit to the Lord. And I believe there's a challenge today for us where we need to surrender and submit our opinions and preferences and allow him to give us his. So the people, it says, come up to the mountain of the Lord in Isaiah, come up to the mountain of the Lord so that I can show you my ways, so that you can walk in my path. And when we come up higher, what happens is we leave our opinions and our preferences and our whatevers behind, and we come up open-handed where he gives us his opinions, his ways, his thoughts, his perspectives. See, sometimes we obey, but only what we like, only the bits that we find appealing. And I believe today it's time to take stock. Is Jesus Lord of all? Or is he just Lord of the bits that I like? Is he just Lord of the parts that I want to take on? Of the bits I find convenient? And I feel like there's this challenge to us today, but it's also encouragement, because he's got so much better things for us. His ways are so much higher. His thoughts are so much higher. If we would just submit our way to him, then he would make our path straight. It says, trust in the Lord your God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. So some of us may need a Cairo adjustment today to crack that stiff neck and make us open and loose once more. The second thing that stopped them was derision. I love my letters starting with the same letter. So derision means to ridicule or to mock. But the Israelites, they didn't recognize the Lord's call. They didn't take it seriously. And so the call came up, come, let us go up the mountain of the Lord to celebrate Passover, to meet with God again. And it says that they ridiculed and they mocked in verse 10. The couriers went from town to town, but people scorned and ridiculed them. And to this word here for ridicule, scorn, means to laugh in contempt. And this again comes from a place of pride. Because the next verse says, nevertheless, there were some that humbled themselves. And this is how much God hates mockery. I was reminded, my husband reminded me of this story this week about Elisha, who's bald. It's one of my husband's favorite stories. I think he relates quite well, but he was bald. And the youth, they mocked him. They laughed at him. They made fun of him. They mocked the Lord's servant. And God sent Elisha cool down bears, and the bears mauled the youth to death. Yeah. But I think this is funny, but it's also serious, because it shows God's heart of when we mock or ridicule people of God, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. So they might, we don't recognize the Lord's call on them or anointed on them, and we ridicule. And that's how much God hates it. He's not going to call down bears. Thank goodness we're under grace now. But it reveals his heart. And so we too need to be careful that we don't mock or ridicule what we don't understand. Or that we become casual to God's word. I think sometimes we've heard so many words in church that we go, oh yeah, come up higher. That's just another gimmick word. Look where it got me last time I said yes to God. But often we have a little package of what we think it should look like when we respond to God, or how he should work. But instead trying to work it out, let our heart response be, I surrender. I say yes to come up higher today. Whatever that looks like, however that works, I want to be part of this. So rather than mock, humble ourselves, preferring one another above ourselves, as Philippians 2 so beautifully puts. And it says that those that humble themselves, God will lift up. The third thing was despondency, where they had lost hope and they lost courage. So they had seen the heartache. They had seen just their people be taken away captive. Where was God's promise of land? Where was God's promise of a people? Where was God's promise of the kingdom? They didn't see it, and their hearts had become despondent and therefore weary. They didn't believe that God was going to save them. And it brought a weariness and an apathy, and they went on their own way. There was also this attitude that it's too hard to go up the mountain. It's too hard to gather up to worship the Lord. It's a lot easier just going our own way, doing our own thing. But there's a cost to coming up higher. And I picked up over the recent years, but particularly recently in the last few months, there's been this spirit of despondency over people. And there's a lot of uncertainty and there's a lot of fear, but it's almost like we've been on hold because we don't know what to do next. And when I first heard the Lord speak that, I said, well, God, what is the answer? How do we lift off the spirit of despondency? Because what happens is when it's a spirit of despondency, it then attaches itself to other people. And then you end up, I remember coming home going, oh, I just feel so like, oh, blah, just can't be bothered. And that's when God said there's a spirit of despondency and it attaches itself and you need to shake it off. You need to break it off. And in its place, I want to bring hope. I want to bring fresh hope that those who hope in the Lord shall not be disappointed. That there's been a hopelessness and a despondency, but I believe God wants to lift it off today and that we would gain new strength and new enthusiasm and we would have this, yes, let's move forward, let's move up the mountain. It can be, as I said, a lot easier not to come together to worship. There's a cost together. And so we can use the excuse, well, I'll just worship in my own home or I'll just worship by myself. It doesn't matter because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And while that's true, the call here was to come together, to go up together, to meet together. And God wants us to gather together. It says in Hebrews 10, verse 25, do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another even more so as the last day approaches. We are in the even more so season right now. So the answer to overcoming despondency, as I said, is hope, where God wants to plant hope in us again, to renew our faith. Isaiah 40, verse 31, that verse I read before. In another translation, it says, those that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So if you need hope today, I believe God wants to plant hope. And in planting hope, we would gain strength. So what should be our response? What was their response to be? So I'm not going to harbour on these points. I'm going to move fairly quickly now. But the first one was to return and repent. The call to repent means to change one's mind. Isn't that interesting? We have our own mindsets, our own ways of doing things, but to repent means to change one's mind. So it's to let go of our own mindset and to gain the mindset of Christ. Psalm 24, 3-4 says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. Christ makes us pure. But we gather up dust, we gather up rubble, we gather up stuff along the way that we just need to let go again and bring before him and let it go. Confess our sins. We are already saved, we're already redeemed, but it's almost like clearing out the things that clog us and weigh us down. When we go up the mountain, we don't want to be taking weights with us. Repentance brings us into his presence. Up on the mountain of the Lord teaches his ways so that we can walk in his paths. It means that we lay down our own agendas and plans and we begin to see what he's doing. The second thing is that they responded together. This was the response of Judah. So you contrast it with the response of Israel. Israel ridiculed and mocked. A few humbled, but the majority ridiculed and mocked. Whereas Judah, they responded with unity of heart in verse 12. So also in Judah, the hand of the God was on the people to give them unity of mind to carry out what the king and his officials had ordered following the word of the Lord. Hezekiah was given a corporate call, not reserved for just one or two, but for all to come up with unity of mind. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to give us unity of mind today, unity of heart, because unity commands a blessing, as we know. And too many of us are doing our own thing, but we would align our minds to the mind of Christ and have unity of mind. Community comes from common unity. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus, our common focus point, he brings unity and therefore community. The next thing is they remove the altars. So on the mountain of the Lord, Jerusalem was a mess. So they remove the things they had put in place of God. So we may not have altars. I'm sure we haven't built altars in our backyards and all sorts of things and sacrifices. Otherwise, I'll be sending Pastor Carrie around to deal with you. I'm sure we don't do that. But do we have things in place of God? Even good things. I remember when I first left here, I realized that ministry was an altar. That ministry had become an idol. That's so what I felt called to do and what I wanted to do, that's what I was trying to see happen. And God said to me very clearly, you were to lay that down. You were to remove that. Even though it seemed like a good thing, it became, I don't know, something, a stronghold. So I had to surrender that and let that go. I wonder what's in our hearts that we need to remove today. But it's the Spirit that removes as we give him permission to do so. The final thing was renewal, or we could say revival. But the Spirit brought great renewal on the people, which brought great rejoicing. Verse 25 says, the entire assembly of Judah rejoiced. There was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the days of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. The priests and the Levites stood to bless the people, and God heard them, for their prayer reached heaven, his holy dwelling place. So Isaiah 2, come up the mountain of the Lord, that I would show you my ways, God's ways. And God met with the people. And on this mountain of the Lord, in 2 Chronicles 30, he completely renewed them. He revived them. And he gave them such joy. With joy comes strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so again, that verse, Isaiah 40, those that hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. Renew means to exchange. So we exchange our limited strength for his never-ending strength, for his limitless strength. And we rise up on wings of eagles, we run and not grow weary, we walk and not faint. And this whole eagle picture, it's an amazing picture. Eagles, They soar up on the thermal winds, which soars them high above the storm. And above the storm, they soar. They put their wings out. And I remember Kerry sharing this with me. They're not flapping anxiously. They're not in a mad panic above the storm, striving. They just rest in God's presence. They spread their wings and they soar above the storm. And they see with a high vantage point. They see things with a new clarity and a new sharpness. They have very sharp eyes. They can see very clearly and they have a greater perspective. That's what I believe the Lord wants to do to us today, is that will we respond to come up higher? But it's not a coming up higher in our own strength. He lifts us up. He rises us up. The Spirit gives us the desire to want to do it and to do it, the Bible says. And so I believe that that's what God wants to do today, is come up higher. If I can have the worship team, please. So what does this really mean? What does it mean to come up the mountain of the Lord? Well, just in summary, in the valley, we have our problems, we have our plans, we have our agendas, our perspectives, and we are seeing them from ground level rather than a heavenly perspective. We are operating in our own strength rather than the endless strength of the Lord. Perhaps we are doing our own thing, not even walking with Him, or only walking in the parts that we like. Perhaps we've become distracted by our idols that have taken our focus and devotion off the Lord. Yet as we come up the mountain, which we do in repentance and prayer, we do in waiting and surrender, and like, Lord, on our knees, Lord, we want to respond to you today. On the mountain, that's where we hear his ways. We see things from his perspective and we become like the eagle soaring above the storm in perfect peace and rest. Jeremiah 6:16 says, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient path, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. Let us not be like the people who said we will not walk in it. Let us not be like the people that ridiculed and mocked. Let us not be like the people that had become so despondent that they were like, nah, it's too much cost to go up higher. Let us be the few people that humbled themselves, responded in unity of mind, to come up to a higher place. For the season has changed. This is what I feel God's saying. And the call has gone out. It's time to come up higher, church. It's time to arise. It's time to rise up. And it's time to begin to operate in a higher place. For you are seated in heavenly places. And God has given you all authority to tear down anything that tries to raise itself up against God. Church, it's time to come higher. So as the music plays, we're going to sing a song in a bit, but I just want us to spend some time at his feet and ask the Lord, are there things in my heart today that are stopping me from coming higher? Are there things that I need to repent of today, where I've been doing my own thing, fixed in my own opinion, even if I think it's right? But I just want to give us time to respond, where we surrender ourselves to the Lord. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond physically, and I'll pray, and then I'll ask you whether, if you want to come up high, that you would stand today as a sign that I'm responding to you, Jesus. So we're just going to take a moment, then I'll pray, and then I'll get us to stand if we feel we want to respond today. And then we'll sing.